just two verses that are hopeful right in the middle. It's a book that you should read sometime. This was Jerusalem in 587 BC, before Jesus was born. And their whole society, all of the structures they were familiar with, were decimated. The Babylonians came, carried them away, and their city didn't function like it used to function. And there was a lot of sadness in their nation and in their families, and yet here are these wonderful words that are, firstly, we have a description of what's happened, and this person's reflecting on what it feels like, what they are understanding has taken place, that somehow their God has allowed for this to happen, and has been personally present in all of that. And yet he can call this to mind. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Every day, God's kindness is supplying our needs. God is our provider. Please don't think he's not. You do need to go to the supermarket and get stuff, but there'll be something there. God is our provider, and there'll always be something for you. His Spirit is guiding us. The nations of the world at the moment are being guided in various ways, but the Spirit of God is at work. And we're praying the Spirit of God will be guiding those who are seeking medical remedies to a mystery that is before us, this virus. His mercies are new every morning, and one of the reasons we are confident of that is that his resurrection triumph, Christ's resurrection triumph, is the guarantee of God's goodness to the whole world, the whole creation, and of his goodness towards you. And he has secured the future. He's given us faith as a gift for the present day, and he has given us eternal life. That's the gift that comes from God through the gospel. You already have eternal life. You're already in it. You've believed, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And have that right now. That's believing and beginning and just simply trusting in God, trusting in the risen Christ. These are solid grounds for hope. The Lord says in one of the Psalms, Psalm 75 verse 3 says this, "When the earth and all its people quake, it is I who hold its pillars firm." And there's a shaking and a quaking across the nations at the present time like I've never seen in my lifetime. Some of my parents or grandparents, people lived through the Great Depression. They had, many people had a decade, and that was followed then by the Second World War. They had sort of 10 to 15 years of life that was rather unlike the norm, but for them it became the normal for a while, and then that passed, and people came back from the war with new hope. They came back to serve one another with a genuine concern for the community they lived in, and so you'd have to say the world benefited through, you know, as a result of those years of turmoil. And my mum used to collect a little, collect silver paper in a drawer. And I used to wonder why she did that. But people collected and they learned to make the most of all sorts of things. And that was sent away for remuneration. It was sent away to help people to keep going. Other neighbours I know had... Their cupboards weren't bought, purchased cupboards. They didn't have enough money. They cut out a kerosene tin and used that for their cupboards. The world hasn't always just been like it is, you know, now. And so people have learned to live through tough times. We are embarking on what I expect is going to be quite a tough, rough time for many, many people, particularly those who work in restaurants or own businesses like that, but so many others as well. And there may be a time for us to revisit our generosity, see how we can already be of help to others. As a great thing that Christian Church learned from Christ is to serve one another, to be kind to one another, to look out for the needs of others and to put others first. And that's what our Lord himself has done. Probably most of our foundations, I read this out because it's a picture of the foundations of a society shaken. Ours are being shaken from sport, which we love, travel, which we enjoy, our entertainment, which we appreciate, going in big groups, just even to watch a movie, the food and opportunities we've had in our land, but all nations like going out for meals. Concerts, festivals, even schools, the things that we know help form part of our regularity and in life, these things are all changing in their certainty. And of course jobs is the other one, and jobs and unemployment will be quite different for many people for some time, I expect. Yet the Lord is steadfast, and he's steadfast in control, and he's steadfast towards you. And as the Bible teaches us, his love is set upon you. He actually loves you, cares for you, he's concerned for your well-being, and is even guiding you in that sometimes when you don't even think about that. That is what is happening. Ultimately, it's the Lord overall. You know, I don't know who started it, and I don't know how much the Chinese government did or didn't have to do with it. I just know that it's happened, our situation's here now, and it is the Lord who shakes the earth, the world he loves. And if you ask me why, I have to firstly say, well, there's a lot of reasons about which I don't know, but this I do know, is that he desires everyone, human race, human beings, to be saved into eternal life, to begin already as a broader framework for living. He desires that to happen and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Without uncertainties, without disappointments, without fears and tears, we could well drift through life and miss the entire purpose or the wonder of what our lives are for. God loves us more than that, and is not sitting idly by while humanity does whatever we like. He's calling us to be responsive to his steadfast love, and to do so in communities of hope, and to be recreated, that is, a new humanity recreated like Christ, serving one another, eager to help one another, steadfast. So, one of the verses from Ephesians 5:14 says, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Again, it's a way of calling people to put their faith in the risen Christ, and then to see how much difference that makes to the way life is lived. As Jesus often warned people, he said to certain people who were very wealthy that one of their problems was they were so wealthy. And it may well be that our pleasures which we love, our wealth which we appreciate and enjoy, but may well be sometimes damaging to our the soul of who we are, the essence of who we are. And it may be at a time like this that we can learn afresh what a steadfast society looks like, what trusting and serving and responding to a steadfast God looks like. And maybe we've ignored the mercies of God. Some people may not even think God has any mercies, but the Bible says they're new every morning, and we should look out for them and see them coming. The sun came up okay. Birds seemed unconcerned this morning. And so the grass is beautiful where there's some lovely rain come. The cattle are looking a little bit nervous, and maybe that's my joke. But the source and the supplier, the butcher said he's not quite sure where all that's going to come from. It's a bit of a mystery because there's still the same cattle on 1,000 hills that the Lord owns. They're still out there. So there we are. I'm wanting to encourage you. It's still what we call the season of Lent. That is in the Northern Hemisphere as the days lengthen, Lenten. As that happens, people focus on Easter. As we move towards Easter, I'd like to encourage you to keep reading that part of the Bible where Jesus turns towards Jerusalem and he begins to come into the city where he's arrested, where he's put on trial, where he's crucified, and where you see his steadfast love for the world. Even when he's crucified, he still says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he is steadfast. This is our God, steadfast towards the human race, no matter what. My grandfather used to have a little sign in his kitchen, and it was a little excerpt from Hebrews. And it said this, I'll read the wider verse, "Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, 'I will never fail you nor forsake you.'" How about that? "I will never fail you nor forsake you." And this is his promise. And you believe that, you'll find that it happens. Christians are called to abide in Jesus, to remain in him, to live in close discussion about these things with him. Let's do just that. Let's trust God with all of our hearts. Not lean on our own understanding. I've got a friend who's a butcher, and after making so much mince and putting it out on the shelves and making more mince and putting it out on the shelves and seeing the behaviour of human beings a bit unlike he'd seen it before and feeling pretty weary after a few days of this, came home and said something like, "I don't understand. I don't understand." And it's a pretty fair assessment, really, about a lot of things. But he trusts in Christ, so he's going to get up and go back next day and cut some more mints, put some more mints out on the shelves, and press on. Christians are called to that. And we're also called to listen to what he says. This is one of his famous sayings. "Be merciful as your Father is merciful." Be merciful, be kind, let those new mercies flow from you as well. And so in this time, it's time to have faith in a steadfast God. And I appreciated this week a friend sent me a quote from the United States president of long ago. Franklin D. Roosevelt once said to his nation, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." Was a good saying, and may well be something we can latch hold of as well. I'd like to close with a word of prayer and exhort you, trust that you'll trust God and see where you can be merciful this coming week. Shall we pray? Dear Lord of all nations, our dear Christ of the cross, amidst our difficulties and our sufferings, may we notice your new mercies each day, turn and live out of your steadfast love. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.